Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Shuttle Drive. I've got a fun little episode for you guys today. I have Mr. Snowy Mark Robertson. How's it going, Snowy?
It's good, Wade. It's good. Good to see you at the other end of the camera. How's things?
No, it's not too bad. You know, can't complain. You know, hanging out. Maybe we'll get some more of this rain. Actually, it rained pretty good today, didn't it?
Well, it's supposed to be more. I'm kind of looking out the window now and the ground's already dried up. But yeah, we're supposed to be on flood alert. So look out.
So you know, me and Snowy will have the new Dagger codes on Toxaway tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. running people down. Anyone that comes, bring your high and dry, bring your...
Yeah, we'll have demos at the put-in slides right at the top of the road. Put in at the road and
just slide on down. Any first timers that really want to experience Toxaway, me and Snowy know it pretty well.
Yeah, it's good to go.
Yeah, Snowy, we'll get into it. Obviously, you know, I know this, but you work for Dagger Kayaks, and you have been designing for them. So I'm thinking about 16, 17 years now, maybe 20.
Yeah, since 2003. Yeah.
And one of the questions that I want to kind of ask you today is about the new Dagger Code launch. That boat, you know, took a little longer than expected. It might have, but it happens. Anyone that's been in the kayaking biz, we all know that things happen and sometimes molds change and we need to change directions. But I just recently did like an on-water review on it, and I really liked the code a lot, and I was really impressed on the final product you guys put out. It met my expectations on what Dagger's lineage is. I just wanted to know kind of what your vision of the code was, like, or Dagger's vision. I know it's a team effort. It's not just you on a pedestal up there. It might be. I don't know. I can't see. I don't know if you're on.
No, far from it. That wouldn't be a very, very fun pedestal. But no, it's a fun project. Yeah, thanks for the review and everything you did on it. Like you say, it took a while to kind of get it to market, and that's just the nature of the beast a little bit at the moment, and lots of challenges along the way. And yeah, don't need to go and kind of all the reasons, but it's there, and kind of all sizes are available in the shops and becoming more available, which is great. It was a really good project. I mean, you know, you'll often hear me say how stuff's sort of team driven and, you know, team tested, paddle approved, and it's a Dagger mantra, and we truly believe in that. And, you know, trying to involve, you know, a fantastic Dagger team that we've got in that testing process, and different people bring different things to the table for the projects we're working on. But yeah, the code, I think, you know, we started the first prototypes for that in April of 2020, I think. So right sort of lockdown time, and we're kind of like, the world was really weird, and, you know, still is at times. But when do we paddle? Where do we paddle? How could we paddle? And so, yeah, that was kind of the start of that boat. But yeah, the vision behind it was, we had the Phantom in the range, and that was doing really well for us. But obviously, it's just a one size of the Phantom, and kind of got that one, you know, released. Looking for something that was going to cover the bases size-wise, so wanted to bring, you know, all the sizes that are needed to the market. Looking at the Mamba in the range, which was old on its second edition and still selling well, but was definitely dated. And just really come with something new and fresh that replaced the Mamba, added to sort of what the Phantom could do in terms of sizes, but also a fresh vision on it. So, yeah.
Just for a lot of like listeners out there, a lot of people didn't know the Mamba has two versions. There was a version that came out in like 2004 or five, somewhere around that range. And then it was revamped. Maybe it was a little earlier or later, but it was revamped in like 2012.
Yeah. So the first version, again, was three sizes. And then the second one came out, I think you're right, 2012 was the next generation of that. And that's, you know, out of those sizes, of those boat options, the Mamba 86, the large one, you know, did really well for us in terms of a big volume, big water. To me, it kind of pushed some things forward, I think, at times in terms of, you know, what that boat could do, and opened up some runs. And I might be wrong on this. I think, wasn't that the boat first ran Site Z on the Stikine? Was that what Benny was in when he first ran that?
Snowy, now you put me on the spot. You know, normally
you're a historian here. You've got that.
More like Rain Man without all the good qualities. You know, I can't count chopsticks and all that. I'm just
dig deep into that, not that big brain of yours. But anyway,
Ben Marr did paddle a Mamba down several things. I do remember him in a Mamba a while back. Yeah. And it's a great boat for that, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Like 8.6. The 8.6.
The 8.6 for sure. Yeah. Size wise, a big volume boat. Maybe not big, you know, by today's standards, but like super stable, kind of like crush through everything. Good for sort of loading for overnighters, and kind of proved itself really well in that bigger volume, but at the same time was, you know, did really well as an instructional platform. And that's where, you know, the first Mamba had come from, that generation of, we worked with the NOC when we tested that boat a lot, instruction platforms, you know, places in the UK and Europe, and who were teaching out of that boat as a kind of sort of beginner intermediate platform as well. And so it was a really good step.
So they still have it in rotation over there in Europe, right? They're still selling it. The MX.
Still there. They do sort of different variations on it, outfitting options. I believe it's with the code coming in, that's going to get superseded and get some drop from the range.
Will it get a club spec also?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly, they have that club spec. They, you know, basically
we get left out on the club specs over here. Snowy, let's bring club specs to America.
I know. It's always boggled my mind that doesn't seem to sort of work at retail over here. It's just like one spec and that's what you get, and you know, it's that one price point. And you know, in Europe it's kind of a 50-50 split. And they do have that big sort of club program as well. And they'll buy fleets of boats and everyone can kind of come along and try it for the first time. And yeah, it's
it was done in the last version Mamba with the welded in seat track, adjustable seat. It had more like the play outfitting, but the problem was I didn't really see that as like a club spec. I seen that as kind of like just a really kind of a high performance spec in a lighter package.
That was it with that. We had the creek spec and the play spec. And so one was lighter than the other. That was real and more adjustable, like adjustable on the fly with the seat. And eventually, you know, the creek spec kind of won out in terms of its durability and, you know, safety and strength. And so, yeah.
And currently that's not being offered or any plans of offering that in a code.
That's not the plan. No,
okay. I
mean, one spec, you know, just for what we're trying to do with that boat and where it's positioned and
minimizing skews, baby.
Safest boat possible. Exactly.
let's tell what it really means. How about minimizing skews? I know what it's like. Mail parts,
you know,
and pieces.
Too many choices. It's like you go into the shops here and you're
asking Robbins.
No, the peanut butter aisle. I don't buy peanut butter. I just can't stand this.
I know you can't.
Well. Down there, and there's like 500 different types. It's like how many types you really need. So.
Yeah. Well, you're at Trader Joe's, so I get it. I'm at Walmart aisle or dollar store and you're at Trader Joe's. Just kind of like with the Nomad project, you know, you had a boat with a long like history, like the Mamba, and you had the task to improve that design. What were you looking at? Like what kind of like parameters were you thinking, okay, this is going to do this. This is what I can improve on. This is what I can improve on.
Yeah. It's always a sort of a tough goal. So you've got to either change some things and improve on it, but, you know, also got to, some people will sort of get pretty distressed if it sort of veers away from what it sort of stood for and then the platform it was, but, you know, you've got to try and progress and move forwards. I think the big thing to look at was that sort of feeling that people want of sort of coming out of a drop and sort of planing out of the drop and then being able to control that boat as it's planing. So, you know, getting a good planing surface in there, getting rails that are usable, but not sort of, you know, overly aggressive. So they're going to catch you out, particularly when we look at sort of where it's going to be paddles location. So you've got places like Pacific Northwest, you've got way more volume around you versus the Southeast. And I think it's, you know, it's fair to say and arguable still, but Daggers, a lot of their focus has been sort of Southeast style boats. That's where we're based. It's where a lot of the testing happens, not exclusively at all, but that's sort of,
let's be honest, that's where all the sales are.
Well, it is.
I've seen the Matrix.
It's definitely not exclusive, you know, kind of global sales, but it's easy to say focus on that, and there are different needs. You know, we really opened that up with the code, with the testing and how we did the testing. But yeah, it was a case of looking at, you know, what had gone before it, but really where the boats were trending and what we wanted to do. What did we like in the Phantom? Because there was things to be learned in there, and what did we dislike? I think one of the big takeaways between those two was really, you know, how that boat's going to kind of come out of a drop and carry at speed. Like the Phantom, you know, the Phantom's going to stay in the range and does what it does. It's a faster boat for sure. It's a boat that kind of really gives you awesome feedback when you're on it, but can also kind of take off on you a little bit when you're sort of, you know, not paying attention. And, you know, if you're not actively, then yeah, it'll really let you know. And, you know, we want a boat that is going to encourage sort of dynamic forward paddling, but at the same time not sort of get away from you. So
yeah, that the Mamba was such a big hit, you know, when I went out to the PNW, and you've talked to those guys a bunch too, you know, the Todd Wells and Galen and those guys out there, and they were a big fan of the Mamba 8.6. They were a huge fan of that Mamba 8.6. And on this project, I'm guessing you got a lot of feedback from those guys too out in the PNW region.
Yeah, we did. We, you know, we've got a really sort of deep team there of paddlers, you know, that we were able to tap into, and people coming from different angles. You know, people were running just big volume runs as well as like large, big waterfalls as well, and everything in between. And so, yeah, to be able to work with the team on that, and yeah, unfortunately, I didn't get to get out there and actually paddle with them. But I'm getting prototype boats and shipped up there for testing and sort of video feedback, and yeah, we stayed, you know, really closely on that. And you know, that's again, that team tested it's the success of the product, so sort of to everyone's in.
Yeah, so you can answer this, you know, better than anybody. So to compare the Phantom and Code, let's say I'm thinking about the medium Code. I have a Phantom currently. What would I expect? What could you expect? Say I have a Phantom and I'm thinking about upgrading the Code. Should I?
Yeah, absolutely.
By five. I know.
Because here's the reason why. I think the first thing is sizing. I've mentioned it already, but you know, you can find a boat within that size range, a true small medium, that's going to fit you really well. That's going to fit you whether you want, you know, a smaller paddler who wants to float super high and dry and, you know, floating on the surface and, you know, sort of charging over everything, down to some smaller paddlers who we've really not catered super well for in a little while. And so that's the first thing. And I think that, you know, the range does cover that well. I mean, I'm sort of able to paddle and test all the sizes and actually can fit all the sizes. And surprisingly, with the large, even like it's not a boat that kind of owns you. You'd think it'd be 97 gallons, like it's going to be massive, but it really doesn't paddle that big.
You're right. I put the large through the paces, and I was, when I sat in and on pavement, the large felt large. It felt big, but on the water, it did not feel that big. I don't know what it was. It just, I don't know if those rails and the link translated really well to the paddling, but when I was sitting in, if I just sat in a store floor, I'd be like, oh, this is way too big for me, but it actually wasn't. I'm around about 180, 185. What are you about? 140, 150?
I'm just under 150. Yeah.
Yeah. So you can go all three sizes.
Yeah. Yeah,
I found out real quick. I can't go the smallest, Noe.
Well, yeah, you gotta get down to your fighting weight, Wade.
Yeah, well, that is true. Well, hey,
yeah, wait, I mean, it's definitely we didn't want to make a boat there. You know, it's easy to just kind of squeeze up on size, and then we'll miss some people out. And in a way, I sit between sizes. Do you think I'd sort of size a boat that fit me a little bit better? But I definitely sit between sizes somewhat. But yeah, you know, testing the small, even, you know, high water runs on things, and felt like I could paddle it pretty well at mine. But yeah, I think you're going to be out of that size range. But yeah, I guess back to, you know, the differences Code to Phantom. So sizing is the big thing initially. And then it's really, you know, that the speed at which the Phantom will come out of drops and into the next drop, it's kind of planing out, it's carrying its speed through. And we sort of realized that for quite a few people, especially transitioning from a Mamba maybe, is that carrying too much speed into the next drop isn't always what you want. Like, you're sort of not always like totally focused and ready for it. You're not prepared for it in some people's cases. So it's not that we're looking to make a slow boat, but making a boat that will, you know, plane out from a drop, give that sort of zippy feeling that people are looking for, but then also be able to control that speed and be ready and prepared to sort of go into the next drop, you know, not totally uncontrolled.
Yeah.
And so that ability to then like midstream corrections, high rocker, so you can kind of like flick the bow and stern around, and then just super rocker in there. That's the, you know.
How much more rocker is it than the Phantom? What's the Phantom rocker? You should have all these number memorized in your head.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I'm not sort of, you know, don't keep.
I could probably ask you a rugby player's stats and you'd ring them off like that.
Yeah, actually, you know, who won the, you know, Rugby World Cup, or who won out of the England Wales, you know,
I have
World
no idea. Who did win the Rugby World Cup, by the way?
That's right, I forgot.
I hope it was Australia.
It probably was. Probably. I've never been to Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, one of those, I'm sure. Yeah. Know that, I'm going to get called out for that, not knowing that answer.
How do you forget that? Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, rocker-wise, depends on the size that you're looking for, but it's got, if people ask how much rocker to have, it's got enough. I think that's a good looking at. Like, it stays on the surface super well, and kind of theory a bit like sort of, you know, big downhill mountain bikes. Like, if the front's going to over something, that the rest of the boat should follow, the rest of the bike's going to follow. And so just all that sort of, you know, sort of crushing rocker where you just get the bow up and over, then it's balanced. Like, okay, making sure it doesn't want to kind of like come up and over and then carry on going in that arc. And so balancing out your stern rocker and just getting that sort of surface so it kind of lifts up and over and then drops back down and continues.
I think you definitely nailed it. You know, I think the whole team nailed it on a boat that comes out of drops, and it does have a higher rocker plane, which I think helps water pile up more. Maybe you could correct me if I'm wrong, but it does. It comes out, and the Phantom had a tendency to squat down and go fast from drop to drop. This one really did come out, and it would skim like 20 feet and then just start dropping down, and it slowed down. So I think the stern rocker and the bow rocker pretty much nailed that. So I think that's a good feature to have. And if that can be pushed on this, that was my description to some people when they'd asked me about the Phantom and Code. I just wanted to get your opinion too. And you kind of back that up, that not everybody wants to go Mach 7 from drop to drop. Some people want to run something, look around, peel out, run the next drop, look around. And I think done. And I think did a good job on that for sure.
Cool. Thanks. Yeah. Just kind of preparing yourself for that next sort of like coming through and just being able to like sit up to take a second, and then you're into the next drop, but without losing that kind of feeling, sense of speed that people are looking for, you know, coming out of a drop and not sort of bogging down. And then really the rail shape, and that this relates a little bit more back to the Marmot than the Phantom, is like carrying that rail through the tail. So when you come off a drop, you are still steering, so dropping an edge, carving with those rails.
The Mamba rail didn't extend all the way to the tail. The Mamba ended probably right about where the rocker kick started a little bit, right?
Yeah. And it was really soft through the tail there, really forgiving in that sense. And that was something when we looked at that sort of beginner intermediate platform, people sort of in their initial eddy turns and peeling out into the flow, and just having something that's going to soft and the water would run underneath. Did we lose you? Oh, you're still there. There you go.
Can you see that?
All kinds of, yeah, fancy stuff on the screen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just wanted to look a little bit at this rocker profile. Plus, I wanted to see if I could pull this up while you were still on here.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can...
Rocker's something, I think, any design will tell you, is you can make a break a boat with rocker. And it's also a really hard thing to control in production. Like, it's sort of over the length of the boat when plastic's shrinking, you know, trying to keep that and maintain it and sort of boat to boat is challenging.
I wish not you personally, but like a bottom shot of the hull on these.
You need to see the business end.
I need to see the business, buddy. I want to see the bottom. I was trying to see if I could rotate it around, but I can't see those rails. I wanted to show like the rails, but I can't see the rails on that. I didn't even know I could not do that, but no, I could see the overall shape of the boat and how it tapers in there. And you can kind of see in the picture that the rail does run the length of the hull there. No, I'm impressed with the boat, man. I really like the boat. And like I said, I paddle every brand I can find now. But I really like the boat a lot. I like how it came over everything. I think it's definitely worth the wait. You know, it was a little long, but hey, it's here for creek season. Who's going to be paddling codes on the Akoi besides me?
Well, yeah, you're the only one. I've been in there, you know, slice boats and slicey boats through the summer, and there's definitely those kind of like
it worked out.
I think it has in the long runs, and getting into shops for sort of winter creek season, and I think, you know, you say you kind of bias towards Dagger, but it's always, you know, nervous putting a boat in Wade Harrison's hands, because he's gonna be honest. He's gonna tell you, you know, and also we're gonna tell, you know, point out to everyone, you. Biggest kind of critic of everything. I remember back when I started with Dagger, you know, Wade would come in and he'd be,
what do you call me?
They called you the NP-er, the picker.
They're like, picker, or PNF-er, problem finder.
problem finding. You're like, don't give this thing to Wade. And then you like try and hide stuff away for a while till it was ready. And then he comes through like, what is this junk? And you just break it. And you're like,
that was 3D printed. Sorry about that.
Yeah. You'd be like, oh,
this grab handle isn't going to hold this, Snowy. And I'm like, he's like, well, that's 3D printed. That was my model. I'd be like, oh, you got some super glue.
Yeah. I'll glue it back together. But no, it's true. Like people would be super nervous. Like, you know, give it to Wade. If you want it really sort of proven out, then get it with the NP.
Yeah, man. I think that pretty much covers the code. I mean, I think it pretty nailed everything. I think the sizing is one of the big things too. You know, the Phantom, obviously, you know, I've talked to several paddlers. They're either too light for the Phantom. You know, I got a buddy, Matt Weiland, and he's like 130, and he's like, dude, that Phantom's just way too big on me. And he just sat in it. And then I've talked to another guy that's like 225, and he's like, it's just too small. It just feels too small for me. And now I'm like, try the large code. Now try the small code. Yeah.
Yeah. It had a pretty, you know, it's had a pretty good spread for being a single size boat, but there's always limitations. And someone's going to want to be in a boat and be sort of, you know, deeper in the water and more engaged in there. And other people just want to float super high and dry. But you know, over the Phantom as well, you know, the Phantom just could part that thing where it come through and just like speed out of drops, but getting a bit more support behind the paddler as well. There's a little bit more width carried back in the cone.
Behind the hips, baby.
We learned from that and just like where we wanted to put the volume and sort of packing that volume really tight in behind the paddler and filling it out. And just things that we learned and bringing a new boat to the range. And a bit like, you know, people like Soprano are doing with their keeping the 9R in the range. Is their sort of super boat. And
the Phantom, just for everybody listening, the Phantom is staying in the range. I really like the Phantom. I mean, I still own a Phantom and I would use it right now. I wouldn't use the code in a race. I think the code, it not saying you can't do it. I don't think it has that speed out of drops that we were talking about. I think it does have that tendency. I just noticed that they did the Great Falls race up and you know, some of the team guys were paddling Phantoms. I was like, well, that makes sense. You need that longer water line and speed. That the code is that drop pool type boat, not screaming from drop to drop. They are drastically different boats.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, I think, you know, speed can also be found in staying on the surface as well. You know, if it bows up again,
that is true. Just ask to Nirvana. And,
you know, different kind of styles of runs, and that lends itself to those different boats. But yeah, a lot of the team, you know, this weekend we're using the Phantom because that's why it's there still. We'll keep it in the range.
Speaking of in the range, what do you think is, we'll change subject on, I think we covered everything on the code. Yeah. So what would you say is the biggest mistake as far as a boat, like that you've done, that you've worked on? And I won't bring up the crazy 88, but is there another boat out there? Maybe it's crazy 88. I don't know. Like, what boat do you look back and you're just like, oh God, that was terrible.
You know, I personally, I feel like
they're all good. I know.
No, far from it.
It's out of the lineup, so you can say whatever. You've already got the sales. You're not killing the sales of it.
Yeah.
Maybe some used.
They're all great. You know, that the Dagger Agent for me was just a tough one. I think it was a real sort of transitional time by when we worked on that boat. So it was right through the first sort of boat that I guess, you know, when I first came in working alongside Mark Lyle and the team that was there then, and then sort of started in on that Agent. And
they come in three sizes?
It was. Yeah. And we're also kind of like challenged with trying to do a sort of play boat and a boat that might work pretty well on the wave, but we really couldn't go anywhere to test it. It was like really trying times. Like, oh yeah, let's make this boat happen real fast. And we don't have, you know, budget and time to do any of this. And we can't go anywhere. And we're like, okay, let's make a boat, you know, in the Southeast, which is not known for its play boating unless the, you know, dries come in or something like that. So that one, I always look back on sort of struggled on. There was lots of things I learned there as a designer and just sort of how to operate and do things. So that's a tough one to stomach.
So the Agent is one that really, I mean, what would you have done different?
Oh, just everything. just pretty much everything. I mean, playboats in themselves are sort of tricky because the sizing has to be like so on it with there it is. Like, so don't remind me.
Yeah, look at it in all its glory here. Oh, this one also, the Pleasure Wager is.
Oh yeah, that's right. Going back a while.
That's was got
the precursor to the leg lifter right there.
Yeah, I just see that. So tell us, like, do you remember the story that me and you kind of like we talked about the pleasure wedger, kind of like how this thing came about?
Yeah, I think weren't we paddling with just sort of regular seats, and then we'd be, you know, doing a run somewhere and take your Mountain Dew bottle and like shove it under the front edge of the seat, and suddenly it would elevate it. And you're like, oh, that feels you know,
like the Kingpin or something. I can't remember the boat, but it was probably the Kingpin. What a great idea. You know, huh?
And then the perception piece, the foam block that would slide back.
Pleasure pod.
That's right. Yeah. So they had
coming that multicolor foam, and it had a little poly knob that slid on some ABS plastic. The pleasure wedger was a better, the pleasure pod was just to kind of keep you from sliding forward off the seat, which I used to make those, you know, I'd foam that out and it would keep it. The pleasure wedger, was that the actual name of that?
I think that it was the name. Yeah.
God, that's terrible. That sounds terrible. Sounds like something you should get at Pandora's box on the weekends, but it's like it slid under the seat and it elevated the seat, which was different because it helped push up against the thighs. Obviously it's not as good as what we have nowadays with the ratcheted like leg lifter. That thing's a marvel, man. That thing's a marvel. And actually, so that originated with Wilderness Systems, correct?
For sure. Yeah. So that came in under the kind of Confluence Wilderness Systems thing. And I believe they have had and still have a patent on the sort of the like leg lifter. It's a really cool feature in terms of comfort, just being able to sort of like lift your legs up. But then
it was with a cam strap.
Yeah.
Not a ratchet. Dagger was the first one to use a ratchet, correct?
To do the ratchet. Yeah. Well, Dagger and don't forget at that time, that's when companies linked together with Wavesport. And so that really came through Wavesport. You know,
Who's Wavesport?
That's a really cool brand. Still going in the UK.
It is. And you know, I mentioned this on my last episode that there's a retailer bringing in a container, baby. We're going to have Phoenixes dropping hard.
I know they're going to be appearing, but yeah, they're still you know pushing the brand. And the brand certainly towards the end there was, you know, towards the end in the US was still really strong in UK and Europe, always has been. But I remember I think Robert was the first one to take the leg lifter from sort of a wilderness platform, and he put it in some of the I might get my history wrong here, like Project.
Maybe one of the later Project X's or something. Yeah, now, is it still patented by a Wilderness System? All you guys out there, you listen, that is a patented right now. So if you think about doing it in the U.S., hey, all you Canadians and UKans and all that, you can drop leg lifters left and right and probably get around it, because it's probably a U.S. patent, right?
Oh, I doubt it. I would imagine it's going to be global. I don't know the exact ins and outs.
Wow, big bucks over here.
Around for a while, and I believe it's still current because it's some things you should kind of, you know, put all the work into and to protect yourself. And other things, a bit like, you know, with the step out wall in Dagger when they first came up with that.
Gradient, right?
We're not going to put a patent on this. Just want everyone to be able to utilize this because it's a safety feature, and if people want to,
I agree.
Then go for it proof safety.
Yeah, really good on Dagger for that, because I agree with that. That's different. That's more of like a structure and a safety feature that could save lives. I would like to see that in all boats, some sort of, if not maybe the exact same, some form of it. I think I've seen like, you know, skeleton type frames, and some of them have used ABS plastic, but it's like, I think Dagger pioneered that safety step out pillar, and I agree with not patenting that, but an outfitting and like something that increases like comfort and more kind of like your trademark, like your thing. I mean, I agree on patenting that.
Yeah. You know, and some people will say that, you know, outfittings are a bit of a crutch and you sort of don't need all that stuff, but I think the ability to, you know, customer wants something that's kind of ready to go out of the shop, out of the bag pretty much now. And so you know, spent a lot of time back in 2011, 2012, developing outfitting that did just that, and you know, brought a lot of adjustment, but sort of, you know, a solid system to market. And the cool thing as well, and this is something with the bigger boats, you know, and you know, just testing the bigger boats, I noticed if I put the seat shims under the seat and actually boost yourself up, you can paddle, you can size up and size down by taking them out into different size boats. So that's a cool feature too.
Yeah. And Dagger, you know, it's no secret out there. Dagger owns the outfitting department. You know, at times, you know, it does look a little like overcomplicated, but it's one of those things, kind of like what you alluded to there, have it, not need it. And if you don't want to, you know, use the leg lifter, just don't lift it up. you don't want to adjust your thigh braces, don't adjust them. Don't want to do your toe cups, don't do them. It's like, but it, at least it's there. And it is a lot going on at times. And, you know I put out videos and Daggers put out videos and team have said like how to do it, but just educating people like the toe cups, you know, me and you were talking about toe cups not too long ago about Daggers toe cups. You know, it's not just a plate. There's a go ahead and explain what the top of it is.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a sort of toe shield as such. So, you know, filling out that space in a bulkhead so you don't sort of go over the top. And I don't know if you've had this, but you go over the top of a bulkhead and then all of a sudden, you know, boat can expand and contract when you hit something. All of a sudden you've got these kind of finger cuffs around your toes and you can't extract yourself back out. And not that you'd be paddling boats barefoot or anything. That's a terrible idea. But
Terrible idea.
only slalom paddlers do that.
Yeah. Weight.
It's too heavy. It's too heavy.
16 grams of shoes.
You've got to be able to feel the foam on your feet. Mm-hmm. So it's got this like sort of cup at the top. So if you, in the result of an impact, your toes can't go up and over it. And so that you can expand those plates out, but it also has the shield to stop you going over the top. So little details like that, they add that functionality. They add a bit of weight, no doubt. But you know, trying to balance out what's needed and what's not. And we probably need to do a better job of educating people why we do it.
I try to put it in some of my walkthrough videos, and I've been trying my best because I always think those are things that are in place. And if it just saves one person from going over the, there have been people went over bulkheads, got their foot lodged behind it. And there's not, you know, manufacturers out there that push that enough about the safety of the bulkhead. Hopefully I got a whole video coming on bulkhead safety, because I think some people will just, even with Dagger boats, man, I'll look in there and they're like, how do you use this? And I was like, they don't even put their wedges on there. Like, it's just, they're up on the plastic.
With that bulkhead safety thing, are you going to do like a crash test dummy thing and basically just like find a drop that you can just, you know, you just repeat over and
a drop in Alabama, like Little River Falls or something.
That's good. You basically come off that first drop and just no stroke it and see what happens.
Man, I don't.
You've got to do it. The consumers want to know, and you're that guy.
Yes, Noe. So the agent, you hated the agent. You still hate it.
Hate,
it keeps you up at night.
I learned a lot.
You loathed it.
It wasn't my favorite. Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of interesting times, like what people wanted out of a boat, and you know, wave boats were kind of like a thing, and so hull wise that boat didn't sort of score super well. But it was, it's fun sort of learning, and kind of in the UK, grew up doing a bunch of play boating, a lot of good hull stuff, and then you come to the Southeast and sort of you lose a lot of that because
that is true. But is there a design you look back that you're like happy? That makes you happy. I know what you're saying, the current ones today, but I'll go ahead and say that outside. Okay. Let me rephrase that. Outside the code and the current available boats today, like way back, is it like it may be a discontinued model or something?
Yeah. I mean, there's a number you kind of like sort of draw sort of really, really sort of good experiences from, and just like, just the process of them as much as like the end result of the boat can be really, really rewarding. I think back to
the Axis.
Well, I can go back further than that. Back in, before working at Dagger, but worked at Piranha for 3 years and just working with the team there on some really cool sort of like some concept idea stuff.
Yeah, X6F adjustable rocker. Wow.
I think that was just coming out when I was leaving.
How about a little loop thing?
Yeah. I mean,
just screw in loop thing.
Trying stuff, but I remember, getting a good opportunity to work on the Piranha Sub 7 was really cool.
That's still a really good boat. Yeah,
Learned a lot with the team there, and under Graham Macrith, Jason Buxton, and all the guys that were there, Bob Campbell, that crew there then, and then fast forward from there, and again some sort of experiences like working with the kind of collective group on the green boat, because part of that was also just that sort of challenge of getting that boat to market, not just like working on the prototypes, which was really cool, and obviously
Well, that was 100% Pat Keller from a video I've seen.
It might well have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there was a pretty big group surrounding that.
There was, yeah.
Over a ton of that buzz, no doubt.
He gave a lot of feedback on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, he shaped on that boat, and you know, there was a lot of hand shaping going on. And so, you know, then taking that and putting it back into CAD so we could then, you know, make mold tools. But
it's still in the lineup today.
It says like a seasonal model. So I think it's just dropped out of the line, full time, but I think it's like, you know, those things like
No. So we can't order one. We better get one for the green race right now, which brings me to the next topic.
I think there's some in inventory. There's not much else in inventory.
I was looking for an excuse because last year you had a great excuse. I think last year you went to the UK, right? During the green race.
Yeah,
so you got a good excuse to get out of it or something. I was wondering, I was like, if you're already getting your race training in this year.
It's always race season.
When
we're paddling back across the lake on section four, and next thing, like, well, someone's speeding up a little bit, someone's speeding up.
We're doing that no matter what.
5 minutes is like a full sprint just because. So, yeah, it's always.
Are you going to be in town during the race this year, or is it still too far out?
I hope to be back. I'm due to go to the UK again before, but I hope not to be kind of trapped there in sort of quarantine world and be able to.
You never know.
I missed last year. I missed the year before with a rib injury. So
that's right.
Yeah, I was all messed up. So yeah, I you know, it's race season. So
which brings me to the next topic. You know, the Vanguard is no secret. You know, I'm not talking top secret here. You know, the Vanguard's what, 3 years now. So is there any future like of the Vanguard? Is that something that maybe still in the works, or is that something that?
I hope so. I mean, I don't definitely never did, and certainly now don't to get to sort of make any sort of calls on what those sort of production-led projects might be, but things that we can work on, you know, learn from, work with the team, you know, and have boats that the team, you know, want to paddle, and we can develop over time, because we're definitely slow with that development, but usually the products last a long time in the marketplace once we get them there. But the Vanguard is one of those that, we already know what we want to do as sort of changes and iterations. And I know this last weekend, like, it took one and two at the Great Falls race in the
That's true.
So kudos to the guys powering it, the machines, right? It's just
some V12 engines in it does help.
Dugout log, and they'd still paddle awesome. So yeah, we
can expect it June of 2022. Nice. Okay, my order's in.
Yeah, I think that's the production plan. Yeah, you heard it. Actually, I mean, yeah, you just set it for us. We'll just work to that. You just tell us what you want, and we'll just knock it out.
Yeah, I just wanted to bring the Vanguard up. You know, it's been in, I know it's been, it's more like a team project right now. And a lot of people need to understand that boats like that, you know, in the grand scheme of things, I think the code was definitely needed more than a Vanguard. You want to sell, you want to sell 50, you know,
make
the Vanguard first. Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, what do we really need to do to fill out the range, and then what's the public going to buy? And, you know, the cool thing about sort of that longboat category is that, you know, Dagger's right there front and center with bringing in some the new batch of longboats, you know, for racing and just...
Yeah.
Downstream fastening. A lot of people look at things like the Green Boat and, you know, Stinger and
the Green Boat and Stinger kind of pioneered the way, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody
yeah.
finally pried everybody out of damn Prion Tornados, right?
The Tornado is eventually kind of been superseded after, you know, however many years. So it's still, you know, still cool boats, but I think people see them as race boats, but they're way more than that. Like, you see groups of people kind of going down the river together, just going fast and having a really good time. I think I remember first seeing like a crew of people coming by in like Stingers and Green Boats, probably like 8 or 10 of them on the upper Goldie.
Golly, marathon, baby.
Just whizzing through and just like, just loving it. I don't think they were race trained, and they're just like out, for, you know, to do the full
lap. Sure does help that flat water, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Yeah.
Trust me. I took a super ego on a marathon. Boy, was I about halfway through, made a mistake. Everybody else they told me, hey, we're going to have a slicey boat day on the marathon. I'm like, all right, I bring a super ego. They all bring RPMs and, you know, mongooses. I'm like, these are half slices. Yeah, I know. Oh, did I almost walk out at the trail and hitchhike. But yeah.
Have you ever done the double marathon on
that? I have not done the double marathon, but I don't, you know, what would that be? 30? What is the marathon? 60 miles? How far is the marathon? 22? I can't even remember.
Yeah, so it's over a normal one, isn't it?
It's not that I don't think I could do it, you know, as long as the days are long enough. Well, even if they're not, once you get past the upper galley and you're on the lower, it's pretty
well chill. The problem we do with you, though, is like you get partway down river and that you'd stop to chat with people because, like, you can't.
Well, whatever. Yeah. High fives and bro hugs the whole way down. What kind of paddle are you using currently? You know, I know me and you both are big fans of the AT Superlight. Yeah, it's hard to beat that. I have used a lot of AT paddles, and I remember, you know, even working at AT and us working together, you were like, have you used that super? You let me use your super light. And I think I bought three of them. I ended up selling like two of them, and I have one, and it's still holding up really good. It is starting to delam a little bit, but I think I seen you out on the water the other day, and you had something called a VE paddle, Vertical Elements.
I did. Yeah.
Are you allowed to talk about that?
I think so. Yeah, they're
in production.
They're available paddle. Yeah, you can buy them. So yeah,
where are they manufactured?
What's that?
Where are they manufactured currently?
So they're made over in the UK. It's a brand that's been around for a good while. VE, and then bought last year or 2 years ago by Palm. Palm Equipment, paddling gear, and then Palm's also the licensee for Dagger in Europe. You know, other products. And so they bought the VE paddle brand production, moved all the production in-house. So everything's kind of there under one roof. And they've got a, you know, really cool team working behind that, and super, super knowledgeable group, you know, where it started with Stuart Morris, who started it, like,
yeah.
Super knowledgeable in kind of composite stuff and a paddler, and just kind of, you know, walks the walk and just knows what he's. So yeah, they bought that brand and have those paddles and using Palm gear for the longest time. So I had the chance to use one and try it out. They're really cool. They're really different to AT. So I sort of went cold turkey from using a 200 AT shaft foam core super light to a straight shaft, adjustable ferrule, just like everything changed up on me really, really quickly.
Now these are air core. They are not foam core, correct?
Yeah. 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 Exactly.
So for everyone listening, a lot of manufacturers say like Warner AT, they put like foam inside the blade. This has an air pocket, like a bladder in it, correct?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's created with a bladder, and it's yeah. It couldn't have been sort of, you know, much more of a sort of a straight sort of weird transition, and still takes some getting used to. I mean, just I used AT for 17 plus years, and you know,
it's all carbon, right?
And still, you know, for some stuff, it's like play paddling. The feel of the foam core, the way it comes to the surface, and
yeah.
Sort of puts up. There's sort of nothing quite like that.
Is yours adjustable?
Yes, yes. It's got the kind of flip ferrule, which is kind of cool for flying back from the UK with it, because I could just put it, you know, carry it.
Is that not crazy? I remember talking to you about this too, and I, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I mean, I got a Lettman paddle, a Lettman Extreme 70, and and I was like, no way would I ever paddle with an adjustable take apart blade until I found out the convenience of just like taking it apart, throwing it down in my kayak. Like, you know how what we do a lot of times, we'll throw paddles in the back of a truck. I always think that's where I'm going to break my paddle the most. Somebody throwing
totally.
A boat on top of my paddle, new, yeah. Brand new Adachi laid in the back of a truck. Somebody drops a damn boat right across it and snaps it. So
yeah.
Now what I do when we're running shuttle or something, I'll either take it apart and it's sitting in my lap, or I'll take it apart and shove it down the back of the kayak and just we're ready. They're like, you got your paddle. I was like, it's inside the boat.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool, and like just being able to travel with that and not, you know, not have to turn up and sort of claim that you've got skis, and they're like, wait, you're going to Costa Rica? There's no skiing there, and it's like, well, it's my ski bag.
Water skis.
Yeah, water skis. Exactly. So yeah, just being able to break it down. So that's cool. And at first, I was like, oh, I don't, you know, not sure about sort of how well that's going to hold up. But yeah, I haven't used them for the longest, you know, super long time. But they're they feel good. They feel really strong.
So you can get them at Palm now. So Palm's manufacturing them in-house is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah.
They
yeah,
bought the whole, all the molds sort of, and everything.
Yeah, got all the molds, new mold tools, you know, kind of pressing all the blades there, machining out the shapes.
Yeah, are they available in the US?
So I believe you can order, you can order anything online, have it shipped. So I believe you can order them through there. They've got an online site and have them shipped over. I don't know kind of how that works with shipping and sort of import stuff. They don't. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they have distribution as such here, but yeah, worth a look. I mean, there's good paddle options out there. Paddles are interesting. I know what I like and sort of don't really veer away from it.
It's hard getting away from that AT.
Getting used to it, and that's the thing. It's a tricky one, but I'm surprised.
Haven't used a Lettman. If you did, you would own one. You would go out and buy one right away.
I've heard good things. I've tried one. I haven't used one, for a long full day on the river, but I've tried them and feel good power. Yeah. Well, it wouldn't be a podcast, unless you asked about the paddle length and offset. Isn't that what you're supposed to ask on a paddle?
You're an adjustable guy like me, so I'm like, whatever the hell I want.
Yeah, exactly. I was gonna say I can go 202.
We're just a click of the thumb. What do you want? I think ours is probably about the same. I can be like a 202, 204, 90 degree offset, left-handed, you name it.
Sometimes I just paddle left-handed just for the hell of it, just to, just see if I can.
It's weird. I do. I'm not going to kind of, if you want me to harp on something, I think I've been harping on this too much and I don't want to become like somebody else, some other podcast I know, but do you run a toe tether?
I do run a toe tether, Wade. Yeah, I heard this has become a slightly controversial topic of late.
Paddle length. I think it's my paddle length.
Yeah. It's I do use a toe tether, and I don't need to tell you why. The reasons why are obvious. But I also,
you want to be tangled up in trees?
Well, no, because it's all down to how you wear a toe tether.
I know.
I've got two options on my
I'm not putting this. I'm not putting this in the podcast because I've done it on the past three people, and I'm like, I realize that I'm becoming. It's my paddle offset. I was like, oh God, I gotta quit. Yeah. I went on about Boyd, about wearing toe tethers, and now you're the first one to come on that wears it. So I almost want to like.
No, but I do, for various good reasons, but also I have it set up so that I can quick release and get rid of it really fast. So I got it in two options. One's through a quick release little plastic buckle, so it actually will pull out. But more often than not, I put it into my chest harness, and if something snags up, I can just release the chest harness and it's anyway.
I caught a lot of crap about doing a toe tether video, and I'm not a fan of them. I think they're more trouble than they're worth. But one of the things that I preach the most is I was like, no, I get it. You want to use it, just use it properly. And I think a lot of people like clicked off the video. They got mad and gave me a bunch of thumbs down and started leaving hateful, but they didn't get to the end where I'm like, hey, I get it. I just don't want to see people hooking it on their shoulder strap. I was with a guy and he actually has a green vest and he didn't like that snap feature. So he hooked it on the bottom adjustable strap. And I was like, you will never get that off of that strap, dude. He's like, I didn't even think about that. He goes, well, I could pull that and it'll just dangle. I was like, what if that end's tangled up in something? You're screwed.
Yeah. 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 It's totally true. Like how you position it, where you wear it. And there's a massive opinion on it and someone's going to tell you it's a bad idea. And, you could create quite the stir out there. Where
I know. I
talked to Corey Vault about it. He's just like, come on, you got that guy all kinds of mad.
I know. I actually thought he was joking around, and I was like, okay, I've heard enough crap about this toe tether. And then when you told me that it seriously happened, I was like, oh my God, I actually thought it was even funnier after that.
Yeah.
I was like, I better not catch his vest like in the back of a truck or something. I'm going to hide his toe tether. I'm going to start I'm going to make a t-shirt, like say, where's your toe tether?
Do you call it a toe tether or a cow tether?
It's called both. I mean, but I'm going by, what if you go to NRS.com, look it up and buy NRS, it's called the NRS toe tether. And it depends on where you're looking at. I did this research to see, apparently it's called a cowtail, mostly in Canada and the UK. And in the US it's called a toe tether. And
who came up with it? I wonder. I don't know that. HF maybe, or someone in Germany.
A question I because I really don't know. Where did the tow tether, like, who came up with it? I'm sure, you know, the rescue vest hasn't even been around that long.
Yeah. I don't know my kind of PFD history. I know, yeah, some really cool stuff there came out from sort of HF and Palm did a lot of supply.
I keep forgetting about HF. That brand is UK, right?
Yeah. No. Germany. Yeah.
Germany. Okay.
There's a lot of really cool soft goods companies. Yeah, a ton of them in sort of UK, Europe.
I know. I wish more of that gear would get over here. I see such great quality gear out of the UK. You know, not like the US doesn't have great quality gear too. It's just, man, is it not just really a good time to be a kayaker? There's so much great gear, so many good boats. Everybody's doing really good job now.
Yeah, there's a lot of choices. And that's the cool thing is that, you know, sometimes it comes down to, okay, what's the category of boat that I'm looking for? You know, creep, half slice, play, you know, steep creep, whatever it might be. And then, you know, what sort of suits you as a paddling style within that? And you know, yeah. I think there's less sort of brand loyalty as such now. You know, what other features do they offer? Some safety, some durability,
warranty,
all kind of backup and service. But yeah, there's just like a ton of cool choices. Yeah, each thing's going to bring, you know, more of one style to the market than the other. But just get in there, try boats, and you know, if it feels good to you, go for it. Just go for
yeah.
it. Backing.
Now, it also, what a lot of people don't know this, but Dagger actually has a really good kind of moving waterline with like boats like the Rome. I don't know, is the Axis still in?
Yeah.
The Zydeco, is the Zydeco still in, or is it dropped?
Zydeco's still there for through this season, I believe. They're definitely more sort of recreational style, and then you know, one of the big boats that sort of leads the charge there, and
Stratos.
Really well in Europe is the Stratus.
It's so good.
12.5, yeah, really, really fun boats. And you know, and with that, Dagger's got, you know, paddlers who are sort of coastal focused and do you know, a lot of paddling, sort of rock hopping, rock gardening, coastal areas, and yeah, awesome.
I've been wanting to do an on water review of that Dagger Stratus 12.5, and Snowy's been avoiding me for a year, maybe 2 years. Maybe I can get one of those if you guys start lighting his DMs up and like get Wade the Stratus 12.5, just because
the last time I had one, you took it off me and didn't give it back, and you raced it at the Chattooga race.
That was a 14.5 small.
yeah, and you
that was the one from the UK.
I think it was, yeah. It was
flown over, wasn't it? Or
That boat launched first in the UK. We kind of developed that boat with the UK and launched first over there, and then a year later came to the US and still does really, you know, really well. It's sort of, you know, people forget that about Dagger as being a full service brand for a long time.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It was like, I think so many people, like, they just don't know, like, that Dagger offers, like, those premium rec brands. And, I'd like to get more out on that because it's, like, the Stratus 12.5. So there's a large and a small of that, right? The 14, the 12.5.
On 12.5 and 14.5, yeah. Yeah, on both of those. So
it's got a roto-molded step-out pillar in the 12.5.
Yeah.
Because it's a rock garden type, which is – you know, and I've been out on the ocean a couple of times. One time you tried to kill me in a hurricane, but we won't go there. It's
I remember that. That's right.
Hey, let's go surf some swells. There's a Hurricane Irene or something coming in.
Yeah, you just showed up out of nowhere, and I was down the coast
in a damn kingpin.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, that was the first time I went on the ocean on the East Coast. And I didn't, no one told me about water temperature. And I remember like thinking, because it just looked like it was like blowing a gale pretty much, because there was a hurricane barreling down. And I was just like, man, it looks cold out. It looked like Britain for a second. So I like put all the gear on, and I go in the water. It's like, wait, it's like, this water's like 70 degrees. Like, no one told me that. The Stratus is a fun boat for sure. It's a good one to to get out.
I didn't realize how good that day touring, I guess that would be called the day touring market. And it's a really good design. Dude, that boat, I love the rocker profile, the drop skeg on it. It's just, it really came together really well for Tiger. I mean, that's that one I could see, you know, being in the lineup forever.
Yeah, it's a good boat, and it sort of gives that transition. You know, there's plenty of people who maybe they're lucky enough to be sort of coastal, maybe not East Coast so much, but you know, West Coast, and you've got, you know, a ton of folks out there who've got great sort of creeks, and then you know, straight down to the coast, and be able to get sort of, you know, rugged coastline and get out and paddle, you know, California and yeah, yeah. Fantastic places, and that's really where that sort of white water of the sea, if you want, is sort of. Dagger's done pretty well in that area. I mean, we don't have a ton of boats in there, but just enough to give people sort of a taste for it, and that's good.
Yeah. Well, yeah, man. Is there anything that you got on your mind? You got any questions or anything else you want to bring up?
We're going to talk about all the new stuff we're working on. I thought you're going to, you know, tell everyone.
Well, I know the answer to that. We've always got stuff in the working. I mean, is there anything new, anything you want to bring up? Anything that you're contractually obligated that you can't talk about or can talk about?
Well, this, yeah, no, not really. We're not doing anything, you know, for a while.
No, I didn't want to try to like bring up, because I always hate it when people do that, and it's kind of like, it's going to be the same answer. I mean, I'm not going to say anything if he asks me.
We're always working on something.
Technically, yeah. You hope you are anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, we're just trying to do new things. We'll see what's next. Got some ideas.
I don't want to go into too much about Confluence. Yeah. I will save that for Scott Bowers. I want to talk to him and bring up more Perception and Dagger and kind of like where that's going with that. Yeah, because you can't. Unless you want to tell me about the new Outlaw.
I don't know as much about that. Scott's
the pedal drive version of it.
Yeah, I don't, it's not my world right there, but yeah. I mean, you know, I'm sure people always like, oh, you know, since Confluence gets bought and the Pelican, things are going to change, and you know, absolutely still working sort of full force for Dagger, but working on freelance capacity, and you know, from sort of looking at it from that perspective, stuff's good, and you know, Pelican's behind everything, and they're a kayak company in their own right, and yeah, they're, you know, in the
How is the
box market, but they're a kayaking company that sort of wants to make boats, and so it's happening.
I mean, who else better to own a kayak manufacturing than a kayak company? And for what a lot of people don't know is the Pelican is owned by, I think, two brothers, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and they've been molding kayaks since, I mean, what, 70s? I mean, I don't know how long Pelican's been around. So who better to own you? What, a group of corporate lawyers in Boca Raton, Florida? You know, who is that where J.H. Whitney was from? Because I looked them up. So that's where J.H. Whitney was from. So who better to own you than a kayak company or a group of corporate lawyers that just look for the bottom dollar? I think Confluence got a lot of crap over that Pelican buyout, especially on social media lit up, and you know, other, and it's not just social media, you know, kind of like the internet in general, whether it be, you know, like, you know, influencers, podcasting and whatever. I think they unfairly kind of like look at Pelican brand as cheap Walmart crap. They do not know how well the Pelican like fishing side is. Yeah. Dude, it's competitive up there with Bonafide and Native and guys like that. It's a really good product line. Yeah, they do have a Walmart version that competes with Lifetime, but that's not what all they do.
For sure.
Am I correct?
I mean, you know, at the end of the day, yeah, absolutely. At the end of the day, they're a successful kayak company, and they're founded on the sort of joy of getting on the water in whatever capacity. So, yeah, it's not Pelican's not a rivalry brand. And, but they do. Consumer, and they do well, and they're also, you know, as much as they're, you know, people there and users of the product and got a passion for it, but they're also super business savvy, and that's kind of important, right? You've got to run the business well, and you know, definitely from everything I see, that's something they do really, really well, and a lot of, you know, really sharp people who are behind all of that. So yeah, to have that sort of behind, you know, the Confluence brands when they were brought into the fold, and still pushing the brands as they stand is nothing but good. And people, you know, no matter who owns, it feels like who owns the Confluence brands is always going to get bashed for just being that sort of bigger corporation. Doesn't matter who you are. It's just that's going to happen, and that's fine. You know, let that happen. But
trolls.
Sure.
They're going to hide under the bridge somewhere, either down in the Ocoee at Hellhole or somewhere on the Upper Green below that bridge at 26.
If you've got that much time to sort of talk about it on whatever social media forum and stuff, you're not spending enough time going kayaking. And
that's my point too.
So, go kayaking, enjoy it. Enjoy the products for what they are. And
well, you know, listen to the shuttle drive while you're driving to go kayaking, correct?
Yeah. That's the first thing. Yeah. Cause that's the,
that's why I did this. So I wanted something people could listen to, have other options that they could listen to as they're going through the river. I agree.
Are you going to have stickers and hats?
I am
slinging swag off this. And,
it's in the works. We're going to see how far this goes. Oh, you're going to get a tattoo.
Nice.
Yes. It'll be, you know, the little pill and stick tattoos. Anything else you want to bring up, Snowy? Anything that you think anybody could, I mean, matters? Anything?
I don't have anything that matters. No, I think, I'm really excited to talk about the new products, and thanks for the opportunity. And I just hope people enjoy that. For me is the kind of the real sort of pleasure is, you know, when I was out on the green the other day, just seeing someone out in the new boats, and
that's awesome, ain't it?
And you know, not everything's a home run, not everyone's going to like everything, but you know, bringing hopefully good quality product that's that people enjoy using, that to me is just like stokes the fire. And so yeah, I'm excited for it.
Well, yeah, man, I appreciate you coming on. You know, I've been talking about a podcast for what, 7-8 years now, and I finally you know, hey, slow moving. You know what? I got this podcast out almost faster than what Dagger got the code out.
I think you did. Yeah, you've got the market right there. Yeah, you're on it. I bet you've got like a really good list of people that you're gonna tap into as well. I can only imagine that people who are just like knocking down the door. They're just like, come on, wait, get me on there. Just like,
man, surprisingly, it's a little harder once you start putting the feet to the fire. I tell you what, at about 5:30, I was like, okay, he's going to go get a haircut or something. I figured you'd say you had to go get some new bowling shoes or something. And I was like, he's not going to do it. But
I was out doing my Monday grocery. I was like, oh, I'm sure I'm supposed to do something this evening. It's like, oh, that call. Wait, that's all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I only been going on with this for like 7 years with you. And you're like, yeah, sure, I'll be your guest. And then it comes down to it. It's like, oh, I got to go get some peanut butter. I'll be like, I know you're lying. I know you're lying.
Standing in the peanut butter aisle, all those choices. And I was just like, man, what do I do? Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be doing a podcast.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, Snowy, I know you're busy, and or at least you tell me you are. So I appreciate you coming on, man. And keep pushing forward, dude. And we'll get out. We'll get some paddling in soon, I hope, maybe with this rain.
Yeah, I'm excited. Next few days, let's go hit something up good. It's going to be should be pretty good.
All right, Snowy, man, it was good talking to you. So everybody, that's Snowy Robinson, and that's it. I guess we'll end it there. All right, see you, Snowy.
Cheers. All right, bye.